precious blood that washes white as snow. Amen, amen. So good to be in Sunday school this morning on Easter Sunday. Thank you so much, singers and musicians, and that beautiful saxophone playing. I could have listened to a whole lot of that, especially when it's used to magnify the resurrected one. Amen, amen. I was telling Brother Baggett, I said, you know, you can kill anybody. You can bury anybody. But just can't anybody be raised from the dead. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Not his power of his death or his burial, but the power of his resurrection. I'm glad I serve a resurrected Lord. Amen. There's a lot of people that have followed religious leaders in this world for millennia. But the one we serve, his remains are not here. And I was talking to Cheryl and Eric briefly before church. And we had a chance to visit the tomb in the garden over in Israel. And it is classified as a type A sacred site. Pretty much saying that the validity of it is pretty sure that it was the tomb due to its close proximity to Golgotha. And we all went in together, the group that I was with, my brother and a couple of other guys. And when we walked in there, I'm telling you, the power of God touched us. And it's a little small place. There wasn't room for five big boys to be shouting and jumping around in there and praising God. But I got out. I stepped out to give them a little more room. But I tell you, the tomb was empty, y'all. Hallelujah. I'm so glad of that. I'm probably not going to get through this morning. I'm wanting to go about three or four different directions. But I want to read you something that I read and studied. In St. John chapter 20. I want to show you what the difference a little word means in the Word of God if you begin to study it and try to understand it. The Scripture says that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truths. And it also says it will enlighten you to the Word of God. And we'll mention that in our lesson. That's what we're teaching a little bit about this morning. It will enlighten you to His Word if you pray that the Holy Ghost give you wisdom about the Word of God. Amen. I'll read one verse and you can be seated. I don't want you to stand this. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. God bless you. You can be seated. I got several to read. I won't have you stand the whole time. Thank you so much. Verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, that's John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, which is John, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. History says that John was a very young man. He might have been as young as 19 years old. He was a very young man when he followed Christ. So I guess that's why he outrun Peter. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He saw the linen clothes, but it didn't go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Peter went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple, John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. I read you that, and as I begin to study that word, the Bible says John outran Peter. He came first to the sepulcher, and he looked in to see the linen clothes. The word see in the original manuscript is the word blepo. It means to see of bodily vision. It stresses the perception of the seeing one, to perceive or to take heed. Peter came along right behind him, and the Bible says Peter went in the tomb, and he seeth the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth wrapped and folded there. That word seeth is theoreo. I don't know if this interests any of you all, but listen, that's where we get our English word theory. Theoreo is what Peter saw when he went in. It means to gaze or to look with interest and for a purpose, usually indicating the careful observation of details. To look to someone from whom help is expected. To take care or to beware. You see the difference in those two words, what John, when he first came to the tomb, and Peter, when he went in and saw? It gets better. Then John goes in, the Bible said. Pisteuo is what John saw. In faith, believing. To believe or give credit to. To have a mental persuasion. To believe and be of an opinion. Isn't it interesting how you look at something changes the perspective? And I got to studying that, and if you read scriptures a little bit further on, it talks about Mary Magdalene in the garden weeping and wondering where somebody done come took him and where they've laid him and stuff. And the word that's used when it says she saw him, she looked on him. The same word that's used up here for Peter, theoreo. She saw him expecting something, but she didn't recognize him until he called her by name. It's all in how you look at it. Some people didn't really care. Some people, just out of maybe a little bit of compassion, might have cared if he was crucified. Some didn't want him crucified. It's all in how you look at it. Amen. Amen. And the Bible goes on to talk about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the one that came to God by night, or Christ by night, asked for the body, and they prepared it for burial. And the Bible says they brought myrrh and aloes of 100 weight to the tomb to anoint his body and to prepare him for burial. And we have to know and understand that the Jews took the embalming process or the burial process, they brought that technology and that stuff from Egypt. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's a good thing they brought out of Egypt. The Bible says that even before they brought Joseph out, he was embalmed. Read the last part of Genesis, and it talks about the death of Joseph, and the Bible says they embalmed his body. That technology was brought with him. And what they did was they brought this myrrh and these aloes. Aloes was simply a sachet, if you will, that was used to, it was very pungent, to anoint the body. So was the myrrh. But the myrrh was mixed, and they would wrap the body with these cloth, these strips of linen cloth, and put this myrrh all over it. It was very pungent. But I read and I found out that myrrh, when they did that, it's like shellac. It dries and hardens. And I believe with all of my heart, when John went in behind Peter, and the word pesteuo was used, when he saw and he believed. He was of a mental persuasion because the entire cloth that he came out of was undisturbed. I believe John saw a shell of a burial cloth, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he has risen by the power of God. Nobody took him. He didn't have to be loosed like Lazarus. The stone wasn't rolled away to let him out. It was to let us look in and see he's gone. He's risen. Oh God, that I might know him through the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. That wasn't part of my lesson, but I just could not get away from that. How we view the resurrection. Is it just going to be to see it? Is it going to be to look and theorize and try to figure it out? Or is it going to look and believe? Hallelujah. I know he told Doubting Thomas, blessed are these, you know, that have believed, not seen. Stick your hand in my side, Thomas. Feel of my hands, if that's what it takes. Oh God, but let me in faith believe and thank you for the resurrection. This morning, the title of this lesson is about the promise, a great and precious promise, the promise of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Your darkest day, your darkest night, your comforter is with you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 7, starting with verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm glad it's not stagnant water. I'm glad it's not cistern water. I'm glad it's living water. Amen, amen. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And we will use that as our key verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I tell you, the promise of the Holy Ghost was given for the salvation of believers, to have victory over every spiritual enemy, and for to receive power to evangelize the world. It's one thing to confess God and to repent of your sins, but it's another thing to be endued with power from on high. Amen. There's something about that endowment of power. The Holy Ghost is a life-changing experience. And anybody that has experienced that knows that. And I tell you, as the multitudes experience this out of the book of Acts, I tell you, it is still alive and well and available to anybody that will receive it. And if you know anything about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is falling on every denomination. There is people receiving the Holy Ghost all across this country and all across the world. I don't care what faith you are. If you're honest-hearted and you're seeking after Him, that great and precious promise is yours. Hallelujah. I am so glad of that, because the Scripture says, though that hunger and thirst after God will receive this promise of the Holy Ghost. Over in Revelation, somebody asked the question, John was writing, who are these? He said, these are those that hungered and thirsted. Amen. God, let me hunger and thirst after more of you, like the hart panteth after the water brook. Amen. Jesus was teaching about the Holy Ghost, and we all know as his ministry began to come to an end, he began to offer the disciples words of comfort and assurance. He was facing a very rude arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and